Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, live and local here on a Thursday, April 2nd. And once again, we wanted to thank everybody for coming out to our first ever Rams rally. I think it was a very successful event and just the beginning of what should be an annual event now. I mean, I have no reason not to do this again next year and invite more people and more fans and more players and more members of the coaching staff. Thanks to Coach Phelps for coming out. Coach Burgess came by. B.A. Walker, Zach Joaquin from the Richmond Times-Dispatch, Matt Shelton-Hyde, VCU Ram Nation. And Jay Money was terrific. He's the producer of my show, and he was producing live at River City Roll as we had Coach Martelli Jr. join me on stage for a live edition of AWOD and the Coach. During the basketball season, we do this every Wednesday at his office at the BDC, and we put the headphones on, and it sounds like really good quality audio. This here at River City Roll, Jay Money filmed it on his phone. So the audio quality's not the best. You do have background noise, but I think you'll get a little bit of a taste of the vibe of that Rams rally last night at River City Roll. So it picks up about 2 minutes into the interview when I started asking him about how, look, last year you got this job and you had a vision of an idea, but now you actually have evidence that what you're doing is working, and you are developing players, having success, and winning an NCAA tournament game. It's AWOD and the Coach, live from River City Roll.
Now that everybody's seen the vision, it's an NCAA tournament win.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you something that concrete that you can say, this is what we are capable of. But I will retract a little bit, like I kind of said in that, like, well, now we're selling that concrete, but there is a vision, because as I said, I don't want that to be the pinnacle. What we just did this year was awesome, but that's got to be the baseline, right? That's got to be the baseline. Like that has to be an expectation going forward. And it can't just be what you just said, hey, we won a game for the first time in 10 years. That's not okay. And, you know, the staff, the players, everybody knows where I stand with that. I told them Saturday night in the hotel in Greenville, like, I'm not great at reflection. I'm good at like the next, like how do we do more? Where do we go to next? I wish I was better at reflection. I need to be better at that, I know. But to me, it's the next thing. So that's where we are going to next, is how do we move and how do we move forward and do better than we did this year.
Well, I want to ask you a reflection question, because we talked before the A-10 tournament. You named three things that it would take to win a championship: focus, unity, and being present in the moment. Can you reflect, can you think about examples of how that was present in the A-10 tournament or the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I knew we were good. We were walking down the hallway. It must have been halftime of the semifinal game. We were up big against St. Joe's. And I heard them up ahead. I walk off the court, even with a great half like that, I walk off the court almost with more angst and more anger, like we can't let up, we can't let up. And I hear them up ahead going, refocus, refocus. And I knew, I said, all right, we got that. And then the unity piece, just different guys stepping up, being ready to go, them celebrating each other. You know, to watch Jordan Tillery get a dunk in that game and see the whole bench erupt the way they erupt, that's unity. And then being present in the moment, it was just like, this is the next thing, right? It was, you know, we won the quarterfinals, and it wasn't like, hey, we came here just to play the quarterfinals and celebrate. No, we were there to go get number two. And we were able to refocus, stay united, and go get number two.
Here with Phil Martelli Jr. at the Rams rally, 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. You know, Coach, I was talking earlier with Zach Joaquin about your secret swag for your entire coaching staff. I feel like it's player development. And it felt like every single player had a character arc this year. Like Nick Lewis had a couple of games where he couldn't score. Scored against North Carolina pretty darn well. Tyrell Ward a couple of games you couldn't get in. Can you kind of explain how your staff and Coach Cole and everyone else there just helps out with player development so much?
Yeah, it's such a heavy emphasis for us. I mean, you know, we really promise that in the recruiting process. Like, we are going to develop you every day. So our last practice that day in between in Greenville was practice 104, I believe. So practice 104, and we did player development. And there's a lot of places in the country where you come in, practice 104, and it's, here's our offensive game plan, here's our defensive game plan, get back on the bus. Nobody got hurt, everybody's good, get back on the bus. And we did, if we were out there for 45, 50 minutes maybe, 35 of that was player development. Because that mattered, right? And for some of those guys, that was gonna be their last practice, last college practice ever. But we're gonna squeeze everything we can, player development. And there's rarely a day that I walk into that BBC and there's not somebody on that court. Doesn't matter if it's 6 in the morning, 6 at night, anytime in between, anytime after, like, they're there. They're there working, and it's a credit to the staff. It's really a credit to the players really buying into that, their own development.
How did the seniors, Jadrian, Bam, Tracy, and Barry Evans, buy into the culture that you were trying to show everyone?
Yeah, I mean, they were great. They, again, I've said it, like, we're going to get talented players, but they're going to have high character. We don't have to sacrifice character for talent. We don't have to sacrifice the other way either. And so for us, it's always going to be about that. And that really is having guys that really care, right? That they really are about winning. Because there's a lot of guys that come and sit there and you say, well, what do you want? And they say, well, I want to win. Okay, do you want to win on our terms or your terms? Because those are different things. Right? Your terms are, yeah, I want to win, but in reality, they're saying, I want to win as long as I score 27 a game, and I play every minute, and I start every game, and I do this, and I do that, and I do that. Well, we're not going to win like that. But if you're willing to sacrifice, if you're willing to give yourself up, you're willing to buy into that camaraderie, buy into that player development, then we're going to win, right? And those are our terms, and these guys all were bought into winning on our terms. Even when some nights it didn't mean, you know, there's nights for every guy where, all right, it just wasn't your night tonight. Or it was that guy's night, right? No fault of your own, but that guy started playing well. He played, he scored, he got some attention. And the way they celebrated each other, that told me early on we had a little something special.
The theme of this season is resiliency for the players, the coaching staff. Everybody went through, you know, some tough losses this year. Like we talked after the NC State game. You were like, man, they punched us in the mouth. Now we got to learn to punch back. And the tough losses to St. Louis. It just kind of felt like, especially in early March, all the tough losses and all the hard victories that you fought to earn all kind of came together. Did you feel that when you were going to Pittsburgh? Or maybe before that with like the Mason game, the rock fight in Dayton?
Yeah, I mean, the collective experience I talked about a lot, right? All these guys came with their own individual experiences. Everybody on the staff, we come with our own individual experience. But when you have that collective experience, because it's easy for me to sit here and say, okay, one time when I was coaching this game at fill in the blank, at Delaware, at Niagara, at, you know, Bryant, whatever, we had this happen, we were in this situation, but that's just a story, right? That doesn't really mean anything. But when you're in it together and, you know, we had Utah State and we come all the way back, that was an experience we could always go back to, right? And so having those collective experiences where we can all look at each other in the eye and be like, yes, we remember, we know what that felt like, we know what it sounded like, what it smelled like, what it tasted like, we know that. So all those things come together. And it's why I knew this team would hit its stride sometime in January because of that. Because we needed that time together to really mold that, to build that experience, to grow together, to have those moments together, good and bad, right? Like, some of it were great moments, some of it were not, right? Some of them were tough days and arguments and fights and things that get you stronger. And that's what we needed to get through, tough games in March.
The VC Rams are chasing greatness with Coach Phil Martelli Jr. And in the win over North Carolina, you used a three-guard lineup, and that got a lot of national attention because of your father's use of the three-guard lineup. We saw you on SportsCenter. I read an article about you from TMZ. I mean, how cool was that to have everybody...
That guy wasn't like a TMZ.
How cool was that that everyone's kind of pointing to what your father did and what you did, and it kind of came full circle here. It was a full family moment.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly his influence is very heavy with what we do in the program. But all the guys that I've worked for and been around and coached with and for, I tell them all the time, like, your influence is heavily there. Every one of those guys that texted me or called afterwards, and I would say to them, like, you have no idea. Like, you have a part of this, right? Like, you can find your fingerprints. You dust the whole program, you're going to find fingerprints from Joe Mihalik and Monte Ross and Howie Dickamy and guys that I've worked with, like Luke Dobrich and Akbar Wahid and, you know, Jeff Rafferty, all these guys that don't mean anything to anybody here. But, you know, all those things and all those people play a factor in what we do. Again, my dad is the biggest influence, right? Like, you can't help but be around him, and for me, all those years, and not pick up little things. Some of them consciously, some of them subconsciously, right? Some of the things that, there's things that'll happen or I'll say or I'll do, and then in my mind, it's almost like those commercials, like, you know, the homeowners that turn into their parents.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're like, oh my God, like, that was him right there. Like, that was him coming out. But it's cool to be able to pull those things back.
So why do you think the three-guard lineup was the difference against North Carolina?
Well, those guys are tenacious. You know, we used it throughout the year at different times. They actually were the most efficient three-man group in the A-10. So, you know, that was always something we were looking to do and get more of. And it was. It gave us a little more speed out there, a little more tenacity on defense. Those guys were flying around making plays. You know, the way that they'll go rebound is guards. You know, the way that Nick and Brandon go rebound is guards. Terrence was doing it at the end of the year. I've never been one. None of our big guys, there's no big guy recruits in here, right? Like, if I could, I'd play 5 point guards, quite honestly. So, as long as there's no...
Dirk Nowitzki right
here. I don't see. Lazar signed his stuff and he put out his video, so I think we're good. Right?
Yeah.
To me, I want that out there. I want that out there, that skill out there as much as possible. And not just the skill, but the IQ.
I mean, it was incredible. Nick Lewis, Brandon Jennings, Terrence Hill with Michael Bell and Lazar Djokovic helping the VC Rams on a 19-point comeback against North Carolina. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about that. So, Coach Phil Martelli Jr., now I got to ask you the juicy question that I've been thinking about since I drove home from Greenville. Can we beat Illinois? Like, how do we beat Illinois? If we get them again next year and Nick Lewis is healthy, could we have won that game?
We can, yeah. Now, they are very good, and I'm rooting hard for them this weekend. I do want to see them win it. Obviously, they were huge. They play the right way. They just have a good way about them. Like, I have a lot of respect for that. I am rooting for them. But yeah, we can. We had our moments. I knew it was a game we were going to have to go make some shots. I think our legs wore out, you know, in hindsight. 3 games in 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You play Thursday. Thursday night, you win that game. I purposely never asked them what time they actually fell asleep. I never went to sleep, but I was doing my work. I'm sure they had an impossible time going to sleep. And then to turn around and have to play that game on Saturday, it was a lot. You know, 5 games and what amounts to, I guess it was 8 days. You know, we talked about, like, we did 4 and 10 days was a lot. 5 and 8 days was a lot. And having that win and the emotion of that, and then trying to calm yourself and say, hey, lights out at midnight. Like, yeah, the lights are out, but you're just staring at the ceiling, you know, with so much adrenaline. So I think that played a factor, you know. But if we were healthy and fresh and had our legs, you know, we make some shots, that's a different game.
Yeah. I mean, I know it must have been tough for your staff and the players because I couldn't sleep. I mean, I was scrolling Twitter all night long, Instagram. I mean, sign me up for more VCU content after they beat North Carolina.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's A-Wad here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for VCU men's basketball. And thanks again to everybody that came out to the Rams rally. We have more of our conversation with Phil Martelli Jr. But Jay Money, we should circle back on this maybe next week. I mean, he talked about that was the most efficient three-man group in the Atlantic 10. Terrence Hill, Brandon Jennings, and Nick Lewis. And they finally went to that lineup against North Carolina, and it absolutely led to the comeback. I mean, North Carolina could not keep up with those three and not switch to give us the matchup we wanted, which ended up being Bogovats against Terrence Hill Jr. He could not touch T. Hill. Let's take a listen once again back at the Rams rally with Phil Martelli Jr.
It was incredible. And Coach, thank you so much for joining me here. And you've been so nice to join me on the show once a month, AWOD Radio, AWOD and the Coast Wednesdays, here on 910 The Fan. And I think the reason I've enjoyed our conversation so much and the fans have enjoyed it is because you're so relatable. You really are. And you're down to earth. And it hit me when you talked about there was a moment where you didn't know if you would ever become a head coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a moment I didn't know if I would ever get my own show. And I think that's part of the reason why you do so good. Can you take me back to that moment? Like, how tough was that?
Yeah, I mean, it, when you're sitting there as an assistant coach for as long as I was, and there weren't a whole lot of people, like, banging down my door, you know? Like, I mean, my path was Central Connecticut in the Northeast Conference, Manhattan in the MAC, Niagara in the MAC, Delaware in the CAA, with the Sixers, Delaware 87ers in the G League, back to St. Joe's off the court as not even as an assistant with my dad for a year. Then you're at Bryant in the American East. Like, wasn't like some meteoric path. And that's 20 some years and making very minimal money. You know, like I've said to some of the young guys on our staff, like, because I obviously know what their salaries are, and I'm like, you know, doing meetings with them this week, and I'm like, you deserve all this, but understand, like, how lucky you are. Like, I was, Megan probably knows the true answer. Like, I might have been 8-9 years in, and I still wasn't making $30,000. And at that point, we were married and had a kid, and she wasn't working, you know, and we're still paying credit card debt from that time, probably 20 years ago. Just trying to survive. And you're looking around and you're like, well, that guy gets zipped up the line and that guy gets that job and no one's really, and the other thing, and I think our fans like to hear this, like, I'm not a job chaser. There are lots of job chasers out there. There are guys that...
That's how you get crowd pop, no, Coach.
Like, there are a lot of guys out there, assistants and head coaches, that just chase jobs, that just go like, they get a job and then they're automatically like, what's the next job? Where can I go from here? And I was never that way. And it probably hurt my career, to be honest with you, but I wouldn't change a second of it. And then you get into it as deep as I got to it, and you're sitting there as a 20-year assistant, you've never been higher than the CAA. No one's really like trying to, and I was around a lot of success. Now I'm not taking any credit for it, but I'm like, we're winning program after winning program. We're winning hard jobs and nothing. And you do wonder, you're like, all right, maybe this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And again, the people at Bryant to give me the opportunity in very unique and, you know, unfortunate circumstances, but to give me a shot and not just like, all right, we'll see. You know, they brought me in that day and they were like, you are our head coach. We're not doing a search. You are the coach. You are the head coach. We believe in you. And that gave me the confidence to say, all right, if they believe in me, you know, now is an opportunity. And just tried to run with it. And then that turned into a 20-some win season. The next year turned into a 20-plus win season and a championship. And then 372 days ago, I was sitting there and Ed texted me and said, I think I'm gonna come up and meet with you. And I'm like, saying to Megan, I'm like, I think Ed's on his way. And she's freaking the bleep out. I mean, she was like a wreck. And I'm like, I think this is real. And it was a Tuesday. She was bringing the kids home from school and they had to turn around and go right back out to practices. And you know, you guys know, it's like, this one's got practice, that one's. And I was like, well, we have to tell them something because I don't know where this is going to go. And by the time they get home, I could be gone. So we grabbed the kids quick. We told them what was going on. They were excited. There was some that were super excited. Some were a little nervous. Some didn't have any idea what was going on. I was sitting on my couch. It was 10 o'clock at night. Philip came down from his room and he said, Dad, they're saying you took the VCU job. I was in my pajamas eating popcorn. falling asleep, probably watching whatever. If I had the remote, it was probably like a rerun of The Office. If Megan had the remote that night, it was probably Real Housewives of some nonsense place. And I was like, well, I'm sitting here. And then my phone goes crazy. All these people, congratulations. Some, I need a job, hire me. Some, I have a player for you. And I'm like, I'm sitting here in my sweatpants and my t-shirt, like falling asleep. And Ed was on a plane. He was on a plane, so I couldn't even get a hold of him. And we did meet that night, super late at night. I met with Dr. Rao the next morning via Zoom. And then from there, I met with my team at Bryant. I met with the VCU team on Zoom. And we were whisked away to the airport. Megan was still freaking out. I will not lie about that. She was a complete wreck. But the last thing, and this goes way, way, way back to, you know, your question, like, or what you said earlier, like, the one thing she said to me, she looked at me and she said, okay, we're really doing this. I said, yeah, we have to do this. This is like life-changing opportunity. And she looked at me and she said, promise me this won't change us. That we can do this at Bryant, and it's mom and pop, and it's little, and it's family, and it's all that. And she looked me in the eyes and she said, you have to promise me this won't change us. And I haven't changed. She's changed. I haven't changed.
That was an incredible story there, but
she's changed.
I've enjoyed getting to see your family.
She has not changed. I can feel the glare I'm getting from her. She has not really changed. She's changed a little bit.
Your family's been part of the Ramley here at Ram Nation. I told you your youngest son is like our baby Yoda.
He's back.
Nate, when they lift him up, my favorite thing is watching you stamp the VCU thing onto the next round. Yeah!
Oh, this ain't your show. What are you doing? We were a little bit late getting over here because Nate had to stop at the BDC. He has a project due tomorrow. Of course, why wouldn't we start it, you know, a couple days ago? Why don't we start it today? But he had to measure the court. The court is how long?
94 feet.
And how wide?
50.
94 by 50. So we had to measure the court.
Woo! Can I get a go Rams?
Go Rams!
Yeah! Really mad. Well, Coach, I do need to ask you one more question, because my girlfriend's here and she told me, I can't believe you didn't ask a follow-up question. You told a really cool story about...
I was just going to say, I can't believe you have a girlfriend, but go on. Sorry.
Coach
Sorry.
Got it.
Well, so, my family would tell you Megan was the first girlfriend I ever had.
There we go. So you told an incredible story about your father and your mother meeting when they were counselors at college at basketball camp.
Yep.
And you and your my wife met when you were counselors at basketball camp. Yep. And my girlfriend said, how did you not follow up? Like, how did you riz her up? What did you do to get her number and as you guys were both counselors together?
That story is somewhat debated. But since I'm on the microphone, we'll tell my story.
Yeah.
So I was coaching in Central Connecticut, and Anthony Latina, who was the other assistant, he's the head coach at Sacred Heart up in Connecticut. We're sitting in the office the night before camp, and I'm looking at the worker list, and I'm like, who's Megan Phelps? And Ant is like a million miles an hour. He is energy all the time, every time. Like, he is just... And he starts going crazy. Oh, I forgot to tell you, I've been talking you up. She's such a cute girl, you're gonna love her. Her dad's a basketball coach, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, Ant, slow down. I'm like, because I knew the other two girls had worked our camp previously. And I was like, they're not really my speed. And I was like, if she's like them, it's probably nice. Like, no, I'm telling you. So the next morning, camp start, you know, we're getting ready to start camp. She comes in and he's giving me the, and I'm like, all right, like, yeah, okay, man. Like, you're steering me in the right direction. So he will claim that he gave me the assist. He's like, hey, Phil, this is Megan, blah, blah, blah. Can you help her? She's got to go put her bag down or her sweatshirt or something in the office. So I was like, yeah, no problem. Her version is that she asked me a bunch of questions and I didn't answer. My version is like, I was the coolest guy in the world, super smooth, every line in the book, like, but regardless of how it started, as if Ant was here, he would tell you he had two people that were on the camp payroll that did no work that week. I don't know that that's entirely true, I mean, I did some work. We went out that weekend and we ended up, you know, dating for 4 years. So some work was done. But no, it was, yeah, that's how it started for us. My parents, the same, they met working a basketball camp. And, you know, like I said, we're basketball through and through. You know, that's who we are. And she played and coached and knows more than I do. I had to put in a role a couple of years ago. We won a game at Niagara, and she, after the game, she's like, man, that on the last second play, and she's like, that play by Anthony, and I was like, yeah. I had no idea what she was talking about. She's like, yeah, that fake to do that. And I was like, I know, I saw it. You know, I probably told him to do that, you know? And I had no idea what she was talking about. And I went back the next day and looked, and I was like, man, she was exactly right, and she had Philip as a baby on her lap. I was like, I had no idea. So from that point on, I was like, we're not talking about the games anymore, mostly because I don't want to feel like an idiot after the game.
Well, let's make some noise for Coach Phil Martelli, Jr. For the VCU Rams, the A-10 regular season co-champions, the A-10 tournament champions, and VCU advances to the round of 32 with a win over North Carolina. Coach, you've got to grab yourself one of those T-shirts. I went out of my way this week to get those made.
That's awesome.
Bring some home to your family.
That's awesome.
And your friends. And thank you so much for coming, man.
Hey, I do got to say, though, we have a couple nice announcements coming over these next couple days. So I think everybody's caught up.
Okay. I didn't want to pressure you.
I think everybody's caught on to the pattern. You know, it seems like 5 o'clock. I think we have filmed. I think there's at least through the weekend.
Ooh!
So
one VCU announcement a day will keep the doctor away.
A pretty special one tomorrow. They're all special, but a little one that's a little extra special, I think, for everybody tomorrow, and then definitely Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I'm just missing count. There might be another one Monday, but definitely Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So things are moving in the right direction.
I mean, people have come up to me. We've caught on. It's a great bit. It's very well done by VCU Athletics. And you and your staff have done a tremendous job. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you. Thank you, guys. Thank you all.
We've got more
season
t-shirts.
Season tickets on sale. I know this group's got them, but
oh, yeah.
Get your friends in there. There's not going to be many seats in that single center next year. I can tell you that. So tell your friends, tell your neighbors. If they want tickets, they better get them now.
We still have more swag, more prizes to give away. Thank you guys so much for coming down to the Rams Rally.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. I think for the last time, we'll thank everybody for coming out to the Rams rally last night. And you know, when you put together an event like that, the idea is to break news, to make headlines. And we did, with Coach Martelli Jr. saying, expect an announcement today, tomorrow, and through the weekend. at VCU underscore hoops. I think they're bringing the band back together. How about that? The most run it back season of all time with the success of freshman Nick Lewis, sophomores Brandon Jennings, Terrence Hill, Michael Bell, and Lazar Djokovic, who are both just juniors. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline to discuss the four teams remaining in this year's college basketball tournament. Final Four in Indy. It's Moneyline Mac, Ryan McIntyre. What's up, buddy?
AWOD, what's up, man? Hey, I saw you had Coach Martelli on the show last night. And River City Roll, how about that?
Dude, it was fantastic. I mean, I've been trying to do this event for the last 5 years, basically. It's the first time in a long time. I have to check the stats on this. It might be the first time ever that VCU won the A-10 title and their coach is still here, right? Shaka won it, then left. Will Wade won it, then left. Rhodes won it, then left. Odom won it, then left. Martelli won it and then joined us at River City Roll. What a G.
Well, you know what that means. That means it's time for a deeper run next year. Maybe even another Final Four. It's been a minute for the Rams, so I think they're due for a run next year. Final Four's in Detroit, I believe.
So let's dive right into it right now. My producer and I have been arguing about, is Michigan against Arizona the national championship game? Or is that the lazy take, what I've been saying? Because it's really the semifinals, and I believe that UConn or Illinois could still win it all.
It's the semifinals because the finals on Monday night. I get why people are saying that because they are the two best teams, but we've seen that before. I mean, I remember last time it being in Indy 2015 where Kentucky and Wisconsin played. Those were by far the two best teams in my opinion that year. Wisconsin knocked off Kentucky, the 38-0 team. But they lost the game on Monday night to Duke. So, and we've seen this too in other years. The year that NC State won with Valvano, everybody said UNLV and Louisville was the championship game. So I don't think you can just pigeonhole one game as a championship game. But I do agree they are the two best teams.
Yeah, Jay Money, why is this the national championship semifinal game?
these are just the two best teams in all of college basketball. All year long, these two have been the top of the cream, the top of the world of college basketball. I just don't think Illinois at the end of the day has the juice. UConn, you could convince me. I just don't think Illinois can.
Mac?
I mean, it's a one-game tournament. So, one-game single elimination. Nothing surprises me in this tournament anymore. So, I don't agree that Illinois can't beat them. I think all four teams could beat each other. But if I had to power rank them, it would be the two teams in the one matchup, and then the third and fourth would be in the other matchup.
So, what would you give out as your bets for Saturday's contest?
I'm on the Illini and I'm on the Wildcats. I like both matchups. I just think I know the UConn Magic. They've won back-to-back national championships just a couple years ago. Now it's 3 out of 4. They've owned Illinois recently, but all those games have been in the Northeast. They finally get them in the Midwest now, and in those matchups, Illinois was still trying to find their identity. I think Illinois has the better roster, top to bottom. I think UConn's culture and toughness is what got them to this game. That was the game of the year, game of maybe the decade, where they were able to knock off Duke the way that they did. I just think the Magic is going to run out here, coming off that Duke game, coming off physical game against Sparty, physical game against UCLA in the round of 32, and then also the Johnnies in the Big East Championship. So I'm going to take the Illini to get the Monday Night Championship, where I think they will have the home crowd as well, which is a short drive. And then I think Arizona has been the best team in college basketball. I know a lot of people fell in love with Michigan because of the analytics and the advanced metrics early on in the year. Arizona's pretty much beaten everybody. I think they have the better guards. I think they can match their physicality up front in the front court. So I will trust Jaden Bradley and that veteran group over Michigan.
So I hear what you're saying on Illinois. Let's focus in on that game for a second because I think they are playing better basketball. I mean, UConn, it took a miracle to survive and advance. My problem with Illinois winning this game is I think Reed is a nightmare for them down low. Like, the seven-footers have been getting away with walling up, you know, smaller guys, and they've rebounded well. I think he could have 20, he could have 30 against Illinois.
Yeah, if I was Illinois, I would let Terrace Reed get his, and I would stay home on everybody else. Just because I think Illinois has so much firepower offensively, I don't think Terrace Reed can go get 50. I definitely think he can go get 30, 35 and have himself a day like he's had. But and all those games where he's had juggernaut games, they've been grinders of games. And I just think Illinois is going to be able to make shots at a higher clip than Sparty did in the Sweet 16. And then, heck, even Duke on that Elite Eight game the other day. If Duke could have made some shots in the second half, they could have delivered the knockout punch.
Michigan, Arizona. I mean, you've been rolling with Arizona for a while now, and they have the size. It feels like advantage on everybody. But the way Lendenberg's playing for Michigan right now, you team him up with Mara down low. I mean, that's going to be a battle in the paint there. It's going to be fun to watch.
It really is. Honestly, the two teams are kind of mirror images of one another to a certain degree, just because of how big they are in the front court. If they both start 6'9", 6'3", giant in the middle, both of them. So you get the Crevis versus Mara matchup inside. You got Pete Lendenberg. You got Johnson, Kawa matchup. And then, Awaka. But then I just think Arizona's got the better guards. With Burries, and then also who's going to be a top 10 pick. But then I think the X factor is Jaden Bradley. It just feels like whenever Arizona needs a big play down the stretch, he always makes a play. Arizona, obviously battle tested. I know Michigan is as well, but you go through the Big 12, you sweep Houston, you sweep Iowa State. You win at UConn in the non-con. They've beaten pretty much everybody. UCLA, Alabama, Auburn. I just think this team is so battle-tested outside of one trip to the Fog and then one random home game where they gave up a bunch of threes at Texas Tech. I think Arizona is the best team in the country.
That's Moneyline Mac. Follow him on Twitter and check out all the work that he does. Always some great stuff there. Moneyline Mac on Twitter. And look, I mean, this is your time of the year, bro. I mean, this is when everybody needs to be following all the work that you do. You've been traveling all over the place, covering all things college basketball. So check him out, TCE on SGPN, Moneyline_Mac. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Appreciate it, A1. Yeah, hey, I'm a couple hours out from Hinkle. I'll be at the NIT tonight, so I'll be in Indy all weekend.
I'll be following Moneyline_Mac on social media. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to A1 Radio. Here on the New Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So we've had nothing but positive news for VCU men's basketball, and as we heard from Coach Martelli Jr., expect an announcement today at 5 p.m., tomorrow at 5 p.m., and through the weekend with VCU announcing players returning for another season. But Syracuse hired Jerry McNamara, and they just made a hire, taking VCU's assistant Ryan Daly and bringing him to Syracuse to be a coach for the Orange. He is a rising star. I'm not the only one that's noticed that. I've read several articles about him being a rising star. It's why I really wanted to track him down when we were in Greenville, and I got him on the show with a five-minute interview with Coach Ryan Daly. I think he was a really big part of the culture that Phil Martelli Jr. brought in the player development this season. This is a guy that had a really good college basketball career at St. Joe's. You know, I always find it cool that, like, John Feinstein wrote about him in one of my favorite books, The Backroads to March, of a really good player that would probably end up being a really good coach one day. And he's on his journey. He was at Bryant with Phil Martelli Jr., came here to VCU. And, of course, when you win the championship and you win an NCAA tournament game, the hardest thing was bringing the coach back, Phil Martelli Jr., but they got him with an extension, and you knew other people were going to be interested in our entire staff. That includes assistant Ryan Daly. So he will be, this has been confirmed by Jeff Goodman and others, he will be heading to Syracuse to be one of the assistant coaches for Coach Jerry McNamara, who's starting this year at Syracuse. He was the previous coach at Siena, had the national stage against Duke, nearly won that game, And, of course, his history at Syracuse, it felt like eventually he was going to be the coach there. Maybe it's too quick, to be honest, right? But they were moving on from Red Autry, and it just was the perfect timing to go get Jerry to build off of his success at Siena. He's bringing a couple players with him. They still have Carmelo's son, Kyan Anthony, Donnie Freeman, and a few other really talented pieces there. And look, they're at Syracuse, like, they care about basketball so much there, right? It's similar to UConn. Like, that's a basketball school. It's a hoops paradise. And they need to be better, and I think McNamara is the right coach, and it's a good first step here bringing in Ryan Daly to be an assistant. So that's the only negative VCU news, basically, that we've seen all week long. Bunch of positive stuff, but wanted to make sure that I shouted that out. Congratulations to Ryan Daly. You know, he was terrific on the sidelines at VCU here, and I want to tell this story real quick. Like, J.Duran and Tracy gave Daly a massive shout-out in the fact that he said when he was a freshman at St. Joe's, he needed mentorship, and he viewed that in senior Ryan Daly. And then when he came to VCU, Tracy said he wanted to provide the senior leadership that Daly provided when he was a freshman at St. Joe's. And it was just a really good vibe and a family atmosphere this year, you know, with Tracy knowing Daly, Daly knowing Martelli, everybody, you know, that came with him from Bryant and Keyshawn Mitchell and Barry Evans. So I am certainly sad to see Ryan Daly go, but I wish him the best of luck. Every day on AWOD Radio, we close the show by highlighting the biggest sporting event of the night. It's game day on The Fan.
Every day on AWOD Radio is game day. Home of the biggest sports fans in town at 910 The Fan. We'll spotlight the best sporting event of the day here on game day. Yeah, right back and I'm here. I got the whole team in here now. It's feeling like game day in this game day. We are the underdogs of the year. We ranking number one on the list. We put in overtime, so we ready for overtime if the clock ever hits. Game day.
Jay Money, I'll go to you. What are we highlighting today in the sports world? I will say this. I am intrigued by the women's Final Four. That's Friday night. It's all one seeds. South Carolina, UConn. UConn in it for both men and women. And then Texas, UCLA. I was telling you, Jaime Jaquez's sister has been a star for UCLA. They are 35-1. Problem is, that's not the best record because UConn's 38-0. Unreal. But that's Friday night. What do you want to highlight today?
The Caps continue their playoff push. They need a big win against the Devils. 3 points out of the playoffs. They need to get a little bit of help as well.
Yeah. I mean, certainly would be awesome if the Capitals got into the playoffs. I just don't have that much confidence in them to win a series this year. I think desperate to get them in because it might be Ovi's last year. Let's get one more playoff push with him. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough for them right now. They're certainly running out of time, it feels like, and they are currently behind Philadelphia, Detroit, Ottawa, and the Columbus Blue Jackets for that second wild card spot. Only 3 points behind, but there's just so many teams competing for that spot. That's going to be the most difficult part. I'm Adam Epstein. You've been listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Thanks to Jay Money running the ones and twos. Grant Poulsen, Danny Ruye drive you home. They're coming up next on The Fan.